All right, it is 11:21. We're going to reconvene on to item number 23, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2024-25 Story County Fire District tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain for the record. This is the tentative budget, which is due into taxation on April 15th for the fire district. While we have a few revenue accounts that we're still working on, these include interest income, unsecured or personal property, and a possible SAFER grant. The tentative budget revenue over expenses that you are presented with is approximately $144,000 extra in revenue. The ending fund balance with transfers in and out contingency show a decrease of the ending fund balance of approximately 68%, or ending fund balance of $6.2 million. Again, we really expect this to change a little bit as we zero in on a few of these revenues and a couple expense issues. Moving on to our expenses, wages and benefits have increased for the fire district general fund approximately 10% each. This includes the approved CBA chart increase and the policy approved increases as well, and the change of moving the wildland fire crew or the NV energy grant crew to the general fund as permanent employees. With this, there are a few things that will possibly change for the final budget. The first one is the chart change that you just approved in the previous item, as well as a SAFER grant. This grant, the fire chief is looking to utilize to hire 6 additional firefighters to help upstaff a couple of his busier stations. Then the SAFER grant will be budgeted on the revenue side to counteract this increase. Service and supplies. Did you want to say anything on the SAFER grant before I continue?
Jeremy Longcard for the record. So yes, we're just finalizing that right now. The total of that SAFER grant, and just to remind everyone what a SAFER grant is, that pays forward firefighters over the course of 3 years. After the pandemic, it's 100% match. So that is nothing out of our pockets to pay for those salaries and wages for those firefighters. So in addition to that, we would still have 3 on our budget. Hope for the SAFER grant at 6, which would free up that additional money on those 3.
Do you have any questions on the SAFER grant or wages and salaries?
Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments regarding wages, salaries, or the SAFER grant?
I do not have any questions. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell,
Did I see that the expected impact on the flattening of the step schedule was about around 20 grand, something like that?
Yes, that is correct.
Very good, thank you.
I have no comments.
Okay, moving on to supplies and service section of the Fire General Fund. This is increasing approximately 19%, or $1.6 million, with significant increases due to absorbing the wildland crew into the general fund. These increases include a 77% increase for telephone, which includes now all their landline, faxes, and cell phones for employees. General fire equipment will increase approximately 56%. Building maintenance is increasing approximately 195%. This is a $40,000 increase and includes such items as updating exhaust systems, bay heaters, replacement of electronic door latches, re-roofing station 72 and 74, station 72 signage, tying the new apparatus building to the house, well repairs, and a few other small maintenance issues. Another large increase in this budget is furniture and fixtures, which is increasing 167%, or $7,000, to a total of $12,000 for this line item. This will be used to pay for an additional workstation, excuse me, at Station 75, fire inspector office, lockers for the wildland crew, and various furniture replacements at a few different stations. We have budgeted the liability insurance across the board at a 15% increase. However, we don't have final figures on that. That usually comes mid to late April. Along with all of these increases, the fire general fund has a few decreases. These include office supplies, communications, fire protection supplies, and ambulance supplies. All of these decreases were made to bring the budget more in line with the historic actuals. The capital outlay section of the budget is increasing 141%, or an increase of $38,000 to approximately $65,000. These include requests for a Connex box for storage, EMS training mannequins, fire extinguisher, training props, and foam pro systems. All of these items above bring the total expenses of the general fund to an increase of approximately 11%, or $12.5 million. Before we move on to the other special funds, give Chief Loamcar a chance to comment, and if anybody has any questions.
Hi, it's Jeremy Loamcar for the record. So I'm just here to answer any questions you may have. And just the very high overview of it, you can see we're trying to introduce some more programs this year, such as child safety seat. So we did budget for trailers for that, ash can programs, and obviously to increase our presence in the just the education, public education world out there. So pretty exciting times, really. And we'll see how these abatements play out. And hopefully the numbers stay where they're supposed to stay. But this will definitely help us more in the prevention aspect with fire extinguisher training for the counties and pretty much focus in that direction for this year. But I'll answer any questions you may have on that.
Thank you, Chief. Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions up to this point?
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Fire Commissioner Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Okay. Capital Projects Fund for the Fire District is the other one that has some major changes and some things that we're still waiting on. This fund will receive a transfer from the general fund of approximately $4 million for future capital projects at the district. Unfortunately, the fire district also had to roll over some planned expenditures that are due to supply issues still. This includes an ambulance that was approved and budgeted for in the fiscal year 22, two Type 3 wildland engines. One was ordered in 22 and one was ordered in 23. A Type 5 engine that was also ordered in fiscal year 22. We have some new items this year. One is an additional ambulance, two replacement vehicles for the fire marshal and fire inspectors, and a 55-foot ladder truck. Also kind of an exciting thing, I think, is a new side-by-side that's going to be equipped to carry patients safely and move through the snow and some different terrain. It'll be really nice, especially out in the Highlands. And so that's all for the capital fund. Did you want to comment on that?
No, other than I love it when the comptroller gets excited about something I budget for. I tend to get that. So
the grant fund, this fund will no longer have specific employees assigned to it, i.e. the wildland fire crew or the NV Energy guys. The NV Energy crew. This way, it will make it easier for the fire chief to schedule and use available crews to perform the work that NV Energy is requiring. Grant is not going away, just the parameters are changing, which we've talked about in other board meetings. Other grants that the fire district is applying for include a Nevada Division of Forestry subgrant for a VC Highlands project and NV Shared Stewardship. Also, Bureau of Land Management Fire Protection Grant for the southern area of the county. And if you'd like more information on those grants, Chief Loamcar can offer that up for you.
Fire Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments so far?
I do not. Thank you.
So we're moving the bulk of expenses out of this fund. The grants that do come through, will those then just be passed through to general if the expenses are moving over?
The grant expenses will be spent out of the grant fund. It's just the specific people that are moving out of that grant fund and becoming permanent employees in the general fund. We're still budgeting some salary and wages within the grant fund. That's just not tied to anyone specific.
Got it. Thank you. No more questions.
All right.
That's it. So again, I just want to reiterate that this is only the tentative budget. We do have a little bit of work to do. We'll be coming before you in the next few meetings with changes and updates. Important to note that on May 21st is the expected final approval of the budget. As it is, the budget is due to taxation June 1st. Prefer to get it there a little bit earlier, but we're hoping everything is buttoned up by the 21st of May, and we'll have paperwork for you guys to sign. If you have any other questions for me.
All right, Commissioner Gilman, any other questions at this point, sir?
I do not. Looks like we're making progress here.
Indeed. All right, Commissioner Mitchell?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
That's the end of your report, right?
That's in for fire district.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this? All right. Not seeing any. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the 2024-2025 Story County Fire District tentative budgets for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. On to item number 24 is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 25. Take a break.
No.
Which is discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the 24-25 Story County Water and Sewer tentative budgets for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, for the record. Water and sewer is always a unique budget to work with. The enterprise funds, I have reached out to Jason Wersbisky, the public works director, that we need to do a little bit more work on these two enterprise funds. We are currently dipping into the ending fund balance to pay for daily operations and loan payments. The water fund ending fund balance is dropping by 9% with the budget submitted, or approximately $134,000. This budget does include, however, $25,000 for water meters that are much needed. It is an item that we did take out of the budget last year to help bring things more in line. So as far as the water department goes, I don't necessarily have a problem paying for the water meters out of the ending fund balance. My fear is that we will start using ending fund balance for daily operations, which is why we need to sharpen our pencils with that one a little bit. The sewer fund is a little bit more bleak, I guess. We are dipping into the ending fund balance by 29%, or $220,000 approximately. One big item that is changing this year with the sewer fund is previous years, the infrastructure fund has transferred $210,000 to the sewer fund to help pay for the bond payments. This was an item that was put in the Far West rate study as to be able to keep the rates lower and help the fund survive and pay for these loans. This is allowable in the infrastructure fund. I would like to bring it to your attention that possibly we keep this going. It's going to help the water fund, or the sewer fund, excuse me. It is going to pay those loan payments. And if there is an appetite for this, I'd be happy to bring a new ordinance before the board before July, but I do need to get it into the budget. This way, keeping the transfer of the $210,000, this budget would only be in the red $10,000. And I think that that's money that the public works director and I can work on to get that in line. So I'm happy to answer any questions on that or to take some direction from you on how you would like to handle this.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments up to this point?
No, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, I think I would be interested in continuing that transfer from the infrastructure fund.
Okay. Do you have anything else with your report, Jennifer?
Just again to remind you that these budgets will change, and I'll bring the final budget before you May 21st.
Right. Is there any public comment regarding the water and sewer tentative budget? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I would. I guess my question would be this, Comptroller McCain, is that if we as a board had an appetite to continue that, is that something that we should add into the tentative budget, or are we looking more towards the final as the transfer?
If you have an appetite to do that, I would add it into the final budget, and you can approve it there.
Very good. Thank you. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the 2024-2025 Story County Water and Sewer tentative budgets for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. On to item number 26, we're going to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 27, which is discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the 24-25 Story County tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain, you have the floor.
Thank you again, Jennifer McCain, for the record. Again, this is the tentative budget. It is due to the Department of Taxation on the 15th of April. Standing here before you today, I already know that there are several changes that we will bring to you in the next few meetings, and I'm sure that there will be more. With that, I'm going to go through the general fund, all the departments. I do have a couple department heads that would like to come up and elaborate on their budget, and or I've asked them to come up. If you have any specific questions, I invite you to stop me, and department heads that are here or online, I'm sure can answer. I'm the finance person. I'm not going to pretend to know the DA's budget or the sheriff's budget or IT's, you know, the things specifically that they do. So please feel free to interrupt me. The general fund revenues, as the budget stands before you today, this is currently budgeted as approximately $40 million. Some updates we need to be made are unsecured or personal property tax, the interest income. I've had a few questions on utility fees. The utility fee is license fees from NV Energy, AT&T, and various other wireless communication companies. This budget was actually adjusted to match historical actuals. For example, in 2022, we budgeted approximately $500,000. We received $1.2 million. In the current year, as of March, we have received $1.2 million, and that budget only increased to $700,000. So that's why you see an increase there. We're currently reviewing the unsecured property tax from the Department of Taxation with the assessor's office, and we have some confusion. They don't put the abatements in there, and since we have a large portion of abatements that are expiring into the next year, we really want to make sure that we're looking at this appropriately, not budgeting too high and not budgeting too low for the changes this will bring about. Any questions on revenues before I move on?
Commissioner Gilman, any questions so far for the comptroller?
Nothing so far, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Good as well.
So overall, the general fund expenses are budgeted at approximately $34 million. This is a 24% increase over the current year. This amount does not include contingencies and transfers. All departments have increases in the wages and benefits that are due to annual merit increases approved Board of Commissioners increases that happened in December and another one in July, and the AFSCME CBA COLAs that were approved. There is budgeted here a 15% increase for health insurance. However, we do know now that moving on to the final, this will be reduced to approximately 8%. Through our budget meetings, we had 7 reclass requests through all departments, and we have had several new positions requested. Of the new positions, we have 7 new deputies and 1 dispatcher per the GSA with Tesla. These are all budgeted in the appropriate departments and paid for out of revenue per the GSA into the revenue section of the general fund. We have a management analyst position in the commissioner's office, additional office personnel in the DA's office, 2 additional buildings and grounds level 2 maintenance workers. One is budgeted for the full year and 1 is budgeted for half a year. We have an additional project manager that will help Mike Northern with all the projects we have coming up, a new code enforcement officer in community development, a security administrator in IT, and an emergency management specialist for emergency management. All of this combined shows an increase in wages and benefits together of 21%, or 20% in wages and 22% in benefits. Again, we do expect to see a few changes as we move on to the final budget. The commissioner's budget is the budget that holds the transfers out. Every year I say I'd like to find another way to do this, and here we are presenting you with the tentative budget, and they're still under your budget. The transfers currently are totaling approximately $15 million, which we expect to change as we move forward with the capital projects fund and get the new road CIP from Dow into the budget. These transfers are reflected as transfers in their appropriate funds. Currently, these transfers include $140,000 to support the daily operations of Pipers, $10.5 million for capital projects. The Tri-Payback Fund will receive $4.2 million and emergency mitigation, $200,000. Again, there is no transfer currently budgeted for the road department as we received the CIP too late to be dealing with that. Specifically for your operating portion of the commissioner's budget, again, an additional staff would be a management analyst level position, and we are currently looking at one change, moving a PR position from professional services to an internal staff position. The service and supplies portion of this budget is increasing approximately 80%, and these increases are due to a 90% increase in the postage line item. This is one area that may change and may be deducted if this is completed before June 30th. We have an increase of $4,000 in computer equipment to $5,500, which will purchase a new desktop for the new position, replace one desktop station, and purchase an iPad and accessories for the county manager. Professional services is increasing 60%. This includes legislative support through lobbyists, facilities, feasibility studies, and PR contracts. Austin, with our county manager, would like to speak on that, but I have one significant decrease to alert you to. The line item account for NACO, WNDD, and EDON account has a reduction of 38%. This is because an amount for the current year of $50,000 was for a transportation study that will not roll over into the next year. As well, the insurance premium has an increase of 15%. We'll know more about that in April. And I'd like to invite Austin to come up and talk about his professional service budget.
Who's getting an iPad? You want that binder anymore? Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Hey, Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record. I think Comptroller Kane actually did a fine job explaining what's happening in the 101 budget. I think it's important for us just to remind us of the overall big picture of what's happening here. As we know, with the legislative climate that we're in, we are going into another legislative session. That comes with it our normal government affairs, relations, our lobbyists, and those services. But there are also funds in here for
a special legal counsel that might be needed for a bill that comes up and affects the county, or any kind of other action that may be coming first to the county, or the money may not be spent. There have been professional services items in the past that legislative went one way or another, and we didn't have to use that money. But it's important that it's there in case of that need. Other things that we're dealing with, we know that we're doing the comprehensive housing needs assessment for the county. We know why we're doing that. There's a regional push. There's a discussion in the legislature. There's a discussion in state offices and a discussion internally, as well as how do we look at housing, look at the master plan update that the planning department is doing right now with communities, and have some real data behind it. And RCG Economics and their team are the people that are going to be able to put the data behind that plan to make it worthwhile and actually get us to where we need to be to meet our targets. And that's what professional services will do. Branding, it isn't just Whose Story County and what do we do. Branding is on the business development side as far as bringing in companies, but it's also on the other side is trying to get the word across the state of Nevada, our county, Washoe County, the governor's office, legislature, what we do, where we are in the region, what that data really is. And you see money in here for branding, and that's for PR, and it's for managing records, and it's for managing documents and looking at our overall picture. And some of those costs will be neutralized by the professional services that would be transferred over. As far as staffing goes, there's a potential that one of these positions may not be filled. But again, we're watching what's happening with the increase of load with the legislature, with regional studies, with demands that are being put on us by regional agencies in the Washoe County area. And we're having to participate more in legislative action, transportation studies, housing studies, regional impact studies, the contracts, interlocal agreements, and memorandums of understanding between private companies, other agencies, stuff that's going on at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, new opportunities that are coming, is putting an increased demand on our offices and professional services, and the staffing that we're budgeting will help us meet those needs to the highest quality possible. And then as far as postage, we hope that that will go down. That postage does have to do with the Story County Lands Act transfer. That would be completely zeroed out if we get that taken care of, the postage this year. And then just a reminder, a lot of the funds that are in your budget for one-on-one are transfers that Jennifer will explain later as far as the pass-throughs that go into other funds like roads or and other projects. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Otherwise, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the county manager?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman.
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Austin.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to other departments. The clerk treasurer's office service and supplies budget is down approximately 11%. This is mostly due to a significant drop in election expenses. It's dropping $21,000 or 27%. The recorder's budget is also being reduced to a nice round number, 69%, due to a large project being completed in the current year. This is reducing the records management line item account by $190,000 or 95%. The assessor's budget has an overall increase of 11%. This is due to some generic increases that every office, every department is seeing in postage, office supplies, and travel, travel and training in the assessor's office, as well as other departments. I know I get tired of saying this, but after COVID and now that the world is opening up, Zoom and webinar classes are ending and in-person training is becoming the norm again. So we will see some increases there. There is a significant change in this budget as there's a decrease in computer software, which is transferred to professional service expense. This is the DevNet, the main software that is utilized by the assessor's office, and she feels that it's a better fit in professional services. The administrative department, or HR, that we're trying to teach ourselves that this is called now, has an overall increase of 17% in service and supplies. This includes increases in travel and training of 48% in travel and training at 125%. Again, Travel and travel is increasing because there are more in-person classes. However, the HR department is able to utilize some web-based classes, which is why their training has increased so much more. As a county, I really think that we understand the need for training and keeping all of our employees up to date on current aspects of our world and what could happen in their department. So I fully support these kind of increases. The HR department also has an increase in computer software of 697%, which only equals $12,000. The percentage is a little hard to say sometimes until you see the dollar figures of some of these. This is for the new NeoGov program that is an HR software that will help HR streamline processes from hiring and all the way through an employee's life with Story County. Buildings and grounds has a decrease of 5% overall. This is mainly a reduction with the building maintenance account. We'll be working a little more closely with Jason Worthwisky and his team and Jeff Holman. We feel that this decrease does put us in line a little bit better with historic actuals and projects that our buildings and grounds crew can feel that they can accomplish during the fiscal year. With that brings me to the Sheriff's Department, wages and benefits. As I said before, there's an increase of 7 deputies positions. This is due to the Tesla GSA, and it reflects a 28% increase. And the revenues will be again shown in the general fund revenue section, not in the Sheriff's Department. Service and supplies has an overall increase of 22%. This includes general increases, pertaining to the extra staff. These will be fuel, operating supplies, medical physicals, and enforcement supplies. Computer equipment is increasing $18,000. IT has informed the sheriff's office that they need to replace 6 desktop stations, and the sheriff's office is also purchasing an additional 4 MDTs for existing vehicles. Building maintenance is increasing 17% so that they can update some window treatments, paint various offices, and other small projects that the sheriff's staff or inmates can do to alleviate some pressure off of buildings and grounds. Inmate medical is increasing by double to be more in line with historic actuals. The capital outlay portion of this budget is increasing 95% or $30,000. The request for this money will go towards a crime scene trailer, a CVSA lie detector machine that is in desperate need of replacement, evidence maintenance system, and radar units for existing vehicles. The sheriff does have some possible additional divisions or units that he would like to implement. However, they are not budgeted in this tentative budget. One is an animal control project, search and rescue, and canine units. At this point, I'd like to ask the sheriff if he wants to come up and expand on these new items or any of the other portions of his budget.
Good morning, Commissioners. Sheriff Cullen for the record. Some of the projects that Jennifer mentioned, the canine unit, for instance, right now it's just a voluntary unit. We've had the deputies put in some money and some effort to that. It started expanding right off the bat, but we're still talking about how to use donations and private funding to get that program up and running. It's tentative. The animal control is a concern for the animals that we have here and taking care of them and trying to house them in a better way, just things we're talking about on how to do that. The search and rescue. So state law requires the sheriff's office to actually maintain a search and rescue unit. Realistically, we have it. We can do that, but we need to organize it and equip them and use the volunteer programs to help with that. And then working with the fire department, get some paid employees to assist and train and run that show. And that's something that we're working on. I don't see the dollars amounts for those tentative programs or things we're thinking about being that high right now. but we'd like to get the program started and get them going. Some of the other things we're talking about, like ticket writing program, tentatively we're looking at this. We're also looking at other ways to use other equipment like telephones for that. If we get the phones involved, then we may not have to buy the equipment to write the citations. You can put apps on the phones to do that. Specifically, some of the things, again, the crime scene trailer. We found that we have some crimes that require us to get the equipment out there. And when we show up and we don't have tape or gloves or lighting at certain scenes, it's, well, besides being embarrassing, being able to throw out the right equipment, you can't do the job. So we want to get that equipment out there to do the job correctly. CBSA lie detector machine has been broken for more than a year or 2 years that we have here. We're currently sending Deputy Valdez down to Carson City to use their equipment. Sheriff Furlong graciously allowed us to use it without charging us any money, but that's going to wear out eventually. We need to do our own program here. So those machines are expensive, but we already had one that was broken. The evidence management system, for instance, it's a system that we have inside of our RIMS computer program system, but we just don't use it. And from starting a year ago here and realizing all the issues we had with our evidence system, it's been an ongoing project to clean that up, get rid of some of the non-evidence that we've been storing for people for years, and make that system work better. And then we found that we have a way to track this stuff electronically. We just want to get some of that upgraded. I don't know. I'm just kind of rambling a little bit. If I can answer some questions, maybe. You guys had questions for them.
Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions or comments right now for the sheriff? You're on mute, sir.
Thank you for that. I just wanted Sheriff Collins to know that I certainly support the projects that he's looking at. I think as we grow, we expand. And I believe he's doing an exemplary job of oversight of the Sheriff's Department. So thank you for that report, Mike. And I look forward to the detail coming forth on some of the programs that you're involved with.
Great. Thank you.
Vice Chairman, any questions or comments?
Yeah, Sheriff, I just have a couple of questions. As far as the, just looking at, trying to understand what portion of the new supplies for the new deputy positions is also covered by the GSA. Is the revenue that's coming from that enough to cover the equipment that's needed to properly equip them and get them going? Or is it just the positions themselves that are covered from getting from Tesla?
Specifically uniforms, the vehicle outfit, complete vehicle outfit, the vehicles, the uniforms. It doesn't cover such things like sending somebody to training. That's something we're going to cover. I think the telephone issue was on here. They're not paying for the telephones for those guys. There's probably a few items. I don't know exactly. It's something we might think of.
It's covering every major item that a new employee would receive from the sheriff's office, but there's always those incidentals that come through throughout the year.
Very good. Thank you. I just wanted to check on, I know the substation build out in TRI, a significant portion of that, I think, was going to be covered by appropriations and other funding sources. Are there pieces of that that are leaking over into kind of the general budget, or is that pretty much covered as far as we know?
Good.
But it's better than Jeopardy, right?
The TRI substation federal appropriations budget it's budgeted out of capital outlay and grants. The only thing that I could see possibly coming out of the sheriff's general budget would be incidentals, any possible new furniture, but that wouldn't come until the next fiscal year.
Very good.
Any other questions?
No, those are my two questions. Thanks.
I have no questions right now. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. Okay, moving on to community development. Wages and benefits are increased here because of the new code enforcement position. Their service and supplies, even with the new position, has decreased 3%. I think that this encompasses some small generic increases as Pete streamlines this budget and brings it better in line with the actuals that he sees he actually needs to spend. The DA's office, wages and benefits, they've had some staffing changes that are developing this year and moving into next year, including a possible new position. Her service and supplies is increasing 46%. This is due to some increase, again, training opportunities for her staff, as well as professional services. Professional services does include some contract deputy DAs, external legal help on internal studies, and some the experts that may be needed for trials. It was brought to our attention to possibly separate the regular contract labor with the possible trial experts and things that we can't exactly budget. And I've spoken to DA Langer, and that is something we'll be working on for the final budget. Justice Court has an increase in service and supplies of approximately 44%. This includes a 75% or $3,000 increase in computer equipment. They have the need to replace two desktops and purchase an additional one for her new position. Also, at this time, I'd like to invite Judge Harrington up to explain a very complicated pretrial increase, which is 1,100% or $11,000. This has historically been paid for from the judge's special fund, and there have been some changes in bail requirements that she can speak to.
Thank you, Ms. Good morning or good afternoon now, Judge Harrington, for the record. The pretrial services fund, or the increase in the money that we're spending, comes from two different things happening recently. One was the traffic conversion that I explained in previous meetings. Traffic violations used to always be misdemeanor violations. And from those misdemeanor violations, a lot of warrants were issued. Out of the warrants and other fees, we used that to create a fund. We called it the Blackjack Fund. That's named off of a case back in 2000, but it's an inherent power of the court to have to establish a fund to help with fees. So we established that in 2019, and with the warrant fees, we were able to offset indigent mental health services, which includes indigent pretrial screening, whether it's random testing, GPS monitoring, alcohol monitoring, mental health evaluations. One mental health evaluation for an indigent defendant can cost close to $3,000. That's just one. So it was a very healthy fund, and we were able to offset those costs. Well, with the conversion that began in January 2023, it created a deficit in that fund, that Blackjack Fund. Now, combined with this was the pretrial release requirements secondary to the bail reform that occurred. And in order to comply with the bail reform and also protect alleged victims and the community, we use devices such as GPS monitoring and SCRAM monitoring. That's a continuous alcohol monitoring system for people that need to be monitored for their alcohol use. GPS devices are location devices for to protect alleged victims out there. This morning, we had an alert on a GPS location device. We're able to alert the victim immediately and start the work in, you know, finding out where that person is. So while these costs were always taken care of by that fund draining out, plus the cost of pretrial release monitoring increasing through the new bail reform laws, it caused this offset. Now, we've been working closely with the Sheriff's Department in refining our pretrial release program. The Justice Court has renovated part of its facility and also purchased supplies that we'll start using in July for a pilot program on pretrial random screening for all of our local defendants. Now, so this all causes an increase that I used to be able to cover by a fund. And that fund, again, came off of people paying for tickets, people paying for warrant fees. Now, the option that the county has, let's say, what was my increase in dollar-wise on pre-plan? How much? $11,000. $11,000. Now, there is an option. The state, I mean, the county could start a Department of Alternative Sentencing pursuant to NRS Chapter 211A. That would require the appointment of a chief and hiring of alternative sentencing officers and staff. I don't think Story's reached that point yet. I don't think we're going to reach that point for a long time. And while the impact to Justice Court for the devices and testing, although it's significant for our department, is minimal compared to Story County establishing a whole other department. When between the Sheriff's Office and the Justice Court, we can handle it right now. I mean, this afternoon, I'll be reviewing. I have people on alternative sentencing. I review their cases personally each month, and I either issue warrants or have them come in for hearings, or we contact the parties and we decide what are we going to do with this person that's not following the sentencing protocol. And like this morning, I used the example for somebody who's on pretrial monitoring. The sheriff's office got an alert. We were able to go out, notify the victim because we're using these deep devices and the random testing. So it's money well spent to protect our community, especially in light of the strict pretrial release requirements that we're under right now. And Ms. Langer is very aware of that. Yeah, Ms. Langer, would you like to speak about that?
What happened, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, was it a 2021 case? In bail reform basically said that every defendant had to go before a judge within 48 hours. As you probably all know, that we have Sunday court now because we have to have the individuals go before the court within 48 hours. So the things that the Jimenez is the name of the case, what we have to look to is the protection to the victim, protection to the community, and to make sure that these people are going to appear in court. So when you're looking at a person's criminal history, you have to look at prior violence, failures to appear, and the actual facts of the case itself. So what we've found, which I find fabulous, and the judge has done a really great job with it, is one of the things that they're looking more towards is that to defendants to be released from custody on an OR release and their own recognizance with no bail. The constant argument that we have to go through is that this person should be OR'd, they're not a danger, they won't fail to appear. But the way that we have been able to protect society over the last year is by a GPS. When you put a GPS monitor on someone, you know when they are going, that like today we got a hit, that the victim is protected because we know that this person can be stopped because they're being monitored on this GPS. The other thing that we're running into, especially with locals, is to watch out with people that have these alcohol problems. So with the alcohol problems, we can put a SCRAM on a person, meaning that they have an ankle bracelet that registers alcohol. So we know that if this person is on the road, they're going to work, they're driving their car, they're in their house, they're near a victim's house, we know that if they've been using alcohol or not. So these have been the protections that society has had against the 48-hour bail hearing that has come into place to protect the defendant's rights. But the way that we are looking at it is to protect the victim's rights and the community's rights, and to make sure that these people, the program that we're now going to be having for the locals is to put together a random analysis test where people either have to check in and be tested. So if they're tested, they can easily be picked up if they're not following the rules. So all these things are so important. And for the price, I'm actually surprised it's only $11,000. because the one thing that I look at as a prosecutor is I know with our community that at least we're making an effort to try to put victims, keep them out of harm's way, and keep people driving up and down the grade, not having drugs or alcohol in their system. So I would say out of any program that I've seen that has worked has been the program that the judges instituted with the GPS, the SCRAM program, and the random testing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Langer, for explaining that further. And yes, we are, those hearings that she's describing within 48 hours are highly adversarial. She has to show me clear and convincing evidence to keep this person in. So they're a hurdle, but I have to balance the safety of the alleged victim, the safety of the community, with the defendant's rights. And using GPS, all these devices, the random testing is all a way to do it, but it costs money. And we're Justice Court, we're supplying the supplies, the devices, all of that, while our sheriff's office is supplying the personnel to do the random testing. So the Justice Court is we're not involved in it, but we're supplying the money for it. So with that, do you have any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments right now for the judge or for Jennifer?
I have no questions. I certainly think that the programs that have been implemented are important. I don't see creating an entire new department would be the right thing for Story County to do. So thank you so much for what you all are doing. And I'm sure there's a lot of extra effort going into that, both in the Sheriff's Department and from the judges' chambers, but I certainly think we're on the right path. $11,000 is a small price to pay for victims' support. So I thank you for the report, and I do understand.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No, thank you.
I don't have anything, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have one? Am I taking it?
Thank you. Okay, so after hearing all of that, I'll be working with Judge Harrington to make sure $11,000 is enough of an increase. Health and Human Services, I just want to touch on that for a second. This is kind of a work in progress. This is one of the departments that is moving from which used to be called Community Relations, now Business Relations, and moving with our new Community Relations person, Bob. He works with Stacy, so this whole budget is in flux as well as the Senior Center budget. Business Development Relations, again, there's a not quite a large increase in wages and benefits. This is because, as the aforementioned Community Relations position is moving over to the Senior Center. Service and supplies, also because of this, for the business development department has dropped by approximately 10%. What is staying in this department is the nonprofit support grants. We only have a few increases. Community Chest has a slight increase for the health nurse. We have a new nonprofit that apply and is... we are suggesting that the request is allowed. The 109 Comstock Ladies is asking for $4,900. All the other requests for this year are staying the same, with the exception of the Fire Museum and the Cemetery Foundation. They did not put in any requests for this year. We have a couple of county-owned buildings that are run by our nonprofits. The first is St. Mary's Art Center. The county has a building improvement, building maintenance line item account in business development for these buildings specifically. And we offer the support for these. We do ask that the nonprofits, for their agreements, try to get grants to get these projects done. However, St. Mary's at the moment has a little bit of their hands tied with who owns the property. They are requesting approximately $235,000 to complete 8 projects in the coming fiscal year. That includes an elevator design and engineering. Having this elevator will give this building more ADA access and open the doors for other grants. A roof repair on the east-west side, lighting for an ADA ramp, print room exterior door, electrical upgrades, a moisture barrier put on the first floor, a seismic retrofit study, and a floor repair in the north and south kitchens. Fourth Ward School is our other building that is run by a nonprofit. Currently, this request is $239,000 approximately, and we have a little bit of back and forth going with Nora as to what exactly this is. It's going to, currently what I'm understanding is it will continue and complete exterior restoration of the building, as well as some possible electrical upgrades. Communications, wages, and benefits will enjoy an additional person position, again, with the Tesla GSA, and this revenue will be in the general fund revenue, not in communications budget. They have a decrease in the service and supplies of approximately 2%. This is due to some streamlining of the John Dietrich, who is the assistant sheriff that is managing this department. We've taken out the auto maintenance as they don't have a vehicle any longer. Computer software and records management are also reductions that are brought more in line with actuals. There is a capital outlay request of $24,000, which will provide them with a much needed additional consulate for the dispatchers to use. Service department has an increase of 21% in their service and supplies. This is, again, some generic items that everyone is seeing: operating expense, fuel expenses, and some general auto maintenance equipment parts. There is one training item in their budget that is causing a significant increase, and I have talked with the fire chief. The fire district will most likely be paying for a couple of our service guys to go to a now opened fire equipment academy so that they can learn the best ways to work on the fire equipment. So that will be a change that you'll see in the service budget. The IT wages and benefits, they are also being awarded a new position. This will be security administrator, which is needed to keep the entire county's internet system safe. Service and supplies is just decreasing approximately 6%. However, their capital outlay is increasing approximately $400,000. The items that are included will be used countywide. They are 5 lithium batteries, 16 Cisco routers for the new fiber project, 5 trip lists, that's not my list, APCs. As usual, I'm going to ask James to come up and talk a little bit more about his specific items in his department. He'll be the lucky one that gets to get called up twice.
So this year, James Dean, Story County IT Director, we've got some large asks. We've got some aging equipment in our data centers. All of our facilities require a router for data to go in and out of these buildings. Cisco has informed us that our current routers, which are 8 years old, are now end of life and will no longer be supported next year. So we'd have to replace these either way, just from a security perspective. The good news is this is going to dovetail into the fiber project. These are 10 gig backbone routers. We're going to multiply our back end capacity by a factor of 10, which is fairly significant and will likely see me through the rest of my career. That's a huge pipe that we're going to be connecting between all the buildings in town. I'm pretty excited about that. The other items here, the APC batteries, that's our core infrastructure that when we get a power blip or a lightning strike or any kind of energy blip, that all of our phone calls don't drop, all of our computers don't go down. We stay up for minutes or hours or however long the batteries last, depending on the application. The 5 lithium batteries, we're trying to move away from the standard AGM style batteries because they need replacement every 1 to 3 years. So there's a substantial amount of manpower required to maintain them. The lithium batteries have a 10-year shelf life. So they're more expensive up front, but we don't touch them for 10 years. The technology has matured. They've been out for almost 10 years now, and I was reluctant to look into them, but they're pretty rock solid. The prices come down significantly, and I think it's a good spend of money to not be maintaining every 1 to 3 and be looking at a 10-year replacement cycle. I did ask for 15. Comptroller McCain recommended five per year for the next 3 years, and we'll just rotate through those. That's all I have. Do you have any questions?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for James or Jennifer at this time?
I do not. Thank you.
Mr. Sherman?
No, thank you.
When did you say you're leaving?
Never.
There you go. Perfect answer. No questions.
Yep. Okay. The ever dreaded comptroller's budget. This budget is actually staying fairly static, except for the wages and benefits that are the same reasons as the rest of the county. I do not have a final cost on if our audit for the following year will be, for the current year, paid for in the following year, will be increasing. The senior center budget, this has been kind of a living, growing budget. We are also working on, probably senior center is no longer the appropriate name for this department. Stacy has taken on a lot of different community service oriented responsibilities. One includes Bob coming to her office as a community relations coordinator. He'll be taking over the indigent services. Seniors services is an ever-growing application within our county. We'll have a brand new Lockwood Senior Center in a year. We are going to be making some improvements to Mark Twain Senior Center, and she'll be looking at different ways of upgrading their services down there. So we just recently had a meeting. We went over some revenues that her department will be bringing into the county and some various grants that she'll be searching out. I think in future meetings, we'll have some more detailed information for that. One exciting note that I would like to bring up is she's working with the school program to provide lunches and meals, breakfast and lunch for the schools. We will share that cost with the schools at a 50-50 rate. So we'll see that in the revenues and expenses moving forward. Emergency management, wages and benefits. Emergency management will have a new support position, which is the increases for wages and benefits, as I just said. Service and supplies is actually decreasing by approximately 15%. This is a big thank you to Adam, who is able to do a lot of the reports and other internal emergency management projects himself rather than go outside of the county to get those done. Planning has an estimated increase of 28%. This is due to, again, some new training opportunities for Kathy and Lindy, and also a significant increase in professional services. This will include the continual master plan update, a parking study, a tri-storm drains project, and some zoning code studies or projects. She's not here. With that, that's the end of the general fund departments. It brings us to an excess revenue of $6.7 million. Just for the operations, again, not including the transfers. I do expect some changes in the coming weeks. A few might be significant, but most of them will be minor. Overall, the budget presented to you today projects a reduction in the ending fund balance of approximately 33% or $8.2 million. Again, important to note that this does not include any money going towards the road CIP. That is one of the major items that will be coming before you in the coming weeks. I would like to thank all of the department heads for their continued support and attention to their budgets. Everybody makes my job really easy when they know exactly what they need and how much it costs. This time of year, moving from the tentative to the final always gets a little chaotic because everybody's rushing to get things in by that last minute, which will be the beginning of May, is kind of when I'm going to have to put the stopping point so I can present to you a total final budget. With that, I never want to go into the year knowing something major was left out. So fingers crossed that everything is done by the May 21st meeting. And if you have any other questions for me on the general fund or any of your department heads, before we move on to the special funds.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for the comptroller at this time?
I do not. Job well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I just have one question, and then I was going to suggest that maybe we take public comment before we dive into the special funds. It's such mm-hmm. a big thing to digest. Jennifer, I was just hoping that you could clarify. You just mentioned about an $8 million reduction in end fund balance. That is a planned reduction due to transferring into other funds or what have you, as opposed to spending $8 million more than we expect to be bringing in.
Correct. That $8 million reduction is directly related to the $15 million of the transfer outs that is going to happen.
Perfect. Thank you.
No other questions?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment at this time on what's been discussed over the last several minutes?
50 minutes.
All right. You're good, Jennifer.
Okay. So with the interest of time, we have several special funds that have minimal or no deviations from the current fiscal year. They rarely change. These funds include indigent medical, emergency mitigation, stabilization, USDA, drug court, technology, genetic marker, indigent accident, the justice court fund, and the park fund. I do not have anything specific on these funds. So if you have any questions or comments for me, I'm happy to answer any of them. Otherwise, I can move on.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments on the funds that Jennifer talked about?
I do not.
Vice Chairman?
No, I don't either.
I don't either. Does anybody in the public have any questions? You're good, Jennifer.
Okay, on to the road department. Revenues without the transfer in from the general, because that's not currently budgeted, is decreasing approximately 15%. As with every year, I am working with taxation to nail down the gas tax. Their recommendation is always a lot less than our actuals. And every year I seek approval to increase that amount. We are seeing a slight decrease also in the SCCRTs, and we are examining those closely as to really see why that's happening and how taxation has come to that. We have other, besides the gas tax and the SCCRTs, the interest income revenue is also not depicted here. Once we have the road CIP projects entered into the road fund, we will get the general fund support budgeted as the transfer out and the transfer in. The expenses for the road department, we see an overall increase at this time without the capital projects of 7%. This is mainly the wages and benefits. We can expect a change in this budget again as we have a little bit more work to do on this fund. Equipment acquisition, this FUD is supported through percentages of ad valorem tax as well as insurance claim reimbursements and sale of old equipment and vehicles. We are still working on solidifying the interest income and the unsecured or property tax with the assessor's office. So there'll be changes in the revenue for the final budget. Currently, the requests for purchases for this year were abundant. Community development is asking for 2 pickups. IT is asking for 1. We have the 4 sheriff rotation vehicles, which will again be the trucks that were approved last year. The oldest and the highest mileage vehicles will go to auction or be adopted into the regular county fleet. Public Works is asking for 5 vehicles, which will be replacing some well-used old pickups that are dating back to 1999. And they are also requesting a possible new staff vehicle for errands and water meter reading. Public Works is also requesting four specialized pieces of equipment, a short plow, a short frame plow, a John Deere Skippy tractor, a skid steer plow, and a 125-foot boom lift, which is actually in conjunction with needs of the IT department, and the current lift that we have will go to auction. It's important to note that not all of these items will be purchased at the beginning of the new year. They'll be spread out, with some things being purchased halfway through the fiscal year. We again have to acknowledge that while we may see significant increases in our revenue, it's prudent that we take a step back and make sure that those increases actually happen and that our budgets are accurate. This fund also supports the Tri-Payback Fund, which we are also expecting an increase. Therefore, we are increasing this transfer by $225,000 to $725,000. Jason, do you want to talk about any of your equipment that you're requesting, or anybody? No? Do you have any, if you have any questions on the equipment or vehicles, the department heads can come up and answer those specifically.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I mean, my only question is, Jason, are you really comfortable submitting a budget with $150,000 for something with Skippy in the name? All right.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. The way this budget is presented to you for equipment acquisition, we will be reviewing in a lot more detail, that because this is having a drastic reduction to this budget's ending fund balance of 83%, which is going to drop it down to approximately $350,000. The Capital Projects Fund. As we have talked about our CIP many times in many of these meetings, we think that we have a fairly solid plan for the new year of approximately $14 million in projects. However, this may change slightly while we start evaluating where our current year projects and are at this point in time, and which ones will or will not be completed by June 30th, and which ones will need to be rolled over into the next following fiscal year. Currently, we know that the following projects will be rolling over. That would be the Lockwood Senior Center, the Fire Station 71 project, and the fairground upgrades. All three of those are federal appropriations that we are going to see in the coming fiscal year really begin to take off and hopefully majority be completed in by this time next year. And other rollover projects include the courthouse historic fence repair. The Justice Court parking lot is one of those projects that we're looking at where it's going to end during this current year, as well as the 6 mile turnaround project for the semis that sometimes get their GPS to tell them to take a ride up 6 mile and then they get stuck. Ongoing projects that we have, not quite a rollover project, but it's the countywide security, which includes the cameras and key fobs that James's department is implementing to all county buildings. It seems like every time we turn around, one more department or fund wants to jump on board, and who would blame them than to be a little bit more secure in these kind of times. New projects that we have going on is a fuel tank and pump upgrade at Tri and Public Works. That's a joint project with the fire district. This is half a rollover project, but it has grown. It was just the fuel pumps, and now it's been moved that the tanks, there's no point in upgrading the fuel pumps if the tanks are falling apart. So we've decided to upgrade that project. We have some community center project upgrades for the Virginia City Highlands. Now that they have a new bay for the fire apparatus, they're going to begin creating the community center that they would like. Mark Twain Community Center changes include a new apparatus bay that will house the fire apparatus before the decision is made what to do with the fire department down there, after which the new bay will be used to utilize some public works equipment that's needed to be stored down there. After the bay is completed, the plan will begin to upgrade the existing building for the community center needs. And we will also be putting in a reader board so that that community can see what's happening in their community when there are town halls, when the community center might be open for the new community center will be open. Other new projects include the Tri-Sheriff Substation, which, as we discussed a little bit earlier, is a federal appropriation project, a tri-complex restroom upgrade. The hopes is to actually have a men's and women's bathroom and not a closet, I guess. The traffic signal at Milan and Electric is also a new project, and a portion of that will be paid for by Tesla per the GSA. Projects that will begin the planning stages next year include a jail complex design, a swimming pool design, and IT office expansion and design. Those projects would then move into the following year as construction starting. IT projects, which I'll have James come up again, include Altra flash drive storage, Gen 2 servers, and he can tell you the rest because I just don't even know what they are.
James Dean, Story County IT Director. As I stated earlier, we've got some aging equipment. I've got two flash drive storage arrays that live in the courthouse data center. These support our shared files locally. We have an initiative to move a lot of stuff to the cloud, but there's always going to be some need for some local storage. And now that the word's out, many departments are taking advantage of that shared storage. VCTC's been using a lot of it, even Jim and his staff. Now that they know it's available, it's being utilized more. So I'm growing for the future there. Got a couple of HP servers. I usually replace those every 5 years. I didn't have any problems with the current ones. They're about 7 or 8 years old now. The drives are starting to make a high-pitched whining sound, which means they're going to fail soon. So I'd like to get those replaced. We've got some LAN networking equipment. Again, moving from that 1 gigabit backbone speed to 10 gigabit. Some wiring that needs to be replaced, some 10, 15-year-old switches that we've been using. That being said, there's a link downstairs that goes from the data center to the slammer. We've got a bottleneck there. It's at 1 gig. We need to get it to 10 gig. So I needed to upgrade a switch and some Cat 6 cable there. That's all I have.
Thank you, James. Commissioner Yeoman, do you have any questions while James is up here?
I do not. Thank you, James.
Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Great. To pay for all these wonderful projects, the Capital Projects Fund receives a transfer from the general fund. Currently, that's estimated at $10.5 million. As I expressed earlier, that could possibly change. With all of these, if everything goes as planned, the ending fund balance will be reduced by approximately $711,000, or 57%. One thing we'll be looking at is it possible to increase this transfer so we can begin to plan for future projects and kind of keep this momentum going. The infrastructure fund receives its own 0.25% of the sales tax, which is expected to increase. I didn't put the percentage, so I'll have to bring that to you later. For fiscal year 24-25, this budget will concentrate on water and sewer portions of the ordinance. As I brought up during the water and sewer discussion, the transfer to the sewer fund of the $210,000, which is support to pay for the sewer bonds, has technically expired as of the end of this year. I would like to recommend that we continue that, even though the rate study officially did not think that it was necessary. I think the way our numbers are reflecting and the dip into the ending fund balance of $220,000, it's significant that we keep this going at least for the next few years. If it pleases the board, I would like to, before July, bring an updated ordinance to make sure this happens. But I need to get this into the budget so that I can facilitate the change. That's all I have on the infrastructure. Try payback fund. General fund and equipment acquisition, transfer money into this, as well as small portions of the SCCRTs and BCCRTs are automatically transferred in. This year, from my calculations, using the auditor, Connie Christensen's template, I'm estimating that our payment for year ending June 30, 2023 will be $4.7 million. The total transfers that I have budgeted are $5 million. This will again help boost up this fund balance and prepare to the ever-growing payments. While the increase sounds dramatic, I think it's just a testament to the direction that Story County is going. The more profitable we become and the more successful that our county is and the more businesses that we bring in, it's just natural that this payment is going to continue to increase. The grant fund revenue and expenses in this fund are in and out for just that, grants. The majority this coming year is going to be the federal appropriations money for the Lockwood Senior Center, Station 71, and the fairgrounds. We have a proposed federal appropriation for the tri-substation, as well as we have a couple historic preservation grant that we will be utilizing to upgrade the front doors at Piper's. Still pending, we have some emergency management grants that the fire and sheriff's departments use to purchase first responder equipment, and we hope to have those solidified for the final budget, as well as a few senior center grants. BCTC, this budget is currently in evolution. This is the second year that Todd has created the budget. I just found out that there is going to possibly be a change with the contract with Liquid Blue that could change the makeup of the revenues and expenses for special events, which would drastically change their budget. We anticipate having a solid final budget for your approval again by May 21st. Currently, the way the budget is presented, the revenue to expense shows an excess of $33,000, and it increases the ending fund balance by approximately 1.5%. Piper's is our last fund. The revenue in this fund are still falling short for the operational cost by approximately $164,000, their budgeted operational expenses. While the general fund does provide a transfer for support of these operations, over the years, we have wanted that transfer to decrease every year. We've gone from approximately $120,000 to $105,000. The current year, it's $100,000. With the budget provided, it was increased to $140,000. However, despite this transfer, there is a deficit that is encroaching the ending fund balance by approximately $25,000. Thusly, this fund is still in review, and there will be some major changes coming to you in the coming weeks. This brings my tentative budget review to an end. I'm happy to answer any questions or hear any suggestions on the budget. Again, I will continue to present you with final budget updates in the next two meetings, coming to you at the third meeting, May 21st, for final budget approval to send to Department of Taxation.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mr. Gilman, do you have any final comments or questions for Jennifer?
I have no final comments, just to thank you for all of the effort going in. And as the county grows, so does our budget, and so do the pressures that the success we're enjoying bring forth. And certainly it appears to me that all the departments are carrying their weight and cognizant of their responsibility for fiscal responsibility. But nevertheless, we're going to feel the pressures necessary to continue the growth compatible with all the success that our county is enjoying presently. Thank you.
Agreed with you greatly, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions, but I want to add my thanks as well. You know, certainly there's some things that are still in flux, but this gets us well down the road towards a final budget. So thank you.
Yeah, indeed. I think staff and Comptroller's office have done an outstanding job working with Jennifer, keeping within their budget. And I'm glad to see that the county is moving forward responsibly, in my opinion, with the money. I did just want to ask, you made a joke about Jeopardy back there. I'm not old enough. What is that? Thanks. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Ask your grandparents if they might know.
Yeah. Thank you. I would once again like to extend, if anyone has any questions, suggestions, concerns, please reach out to me at my office. I'm happy to talk about any of it.
Great. Is there any public comment for Jennifer before she vacates?
For the record, Gary Schmidt, thank you, Jennifer. That was very well presented, and thanks to the other speakers and presenters. You know, I first visited Virginia City, Story County, about six decades ago. And I think I remember Marshall McBride, as I drove through town, playing on the Jungle Gym at the grade school. I think it was probably him. But let me just say, I've had an appreciation for this community for decades. Those of you that know me personally and my history, 50-year history at the Reindeer Lodge, will know that I appreciate the historical, the significance of this community and all the artifacts. And I would give strong support for the continued expansion of the fairgrounds and the senior centers and community centers in the four distinct communities that form the total community of Story County. And in my my wife and I first bought a home here a little over a decade ago, which was a part-time home. And then as the years progressed, it became our full-time home. And I've had a lot of experience, rub shoulders with the people in these various departments here in Story County. And generally speaking, I find that by far the vast majority of them very professional, friendly, a sense of community and pride, and enjoying their job and doing a good job. And I think that most of the people that are here are privileged to be here, and they acknowledge that. And it's just a great community to live and work in. And even those that don't live in this community but work here in these various departments, I think still have a sense of that community pride. And I'm quite proud and privileged to be a part of it. Thank you.
Great. Any other public comment related to the budget? Well done, Jennifer. Much appreciated. All right, on to item number 28. This is discussion. Oh, yeah, you guys want a motion too? Jesus. All right, Vice Chairman, you ready to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the 2024-2025 Story County tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Now on to item number 28. Discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible action enabling staff to remove the Taylor Street repair project, if necessary, from the FEMA disaster mitigation claims from the April 2023 disaster event due to potential delays caused by federal Selection 106 compliance requirements and other relevant matters which may lead to previously board-approved funds to not exceed $200,000 to possibly be non-reimbursable. As a result, these funds would be paid for from the existing road maintenance budget. Mike Northern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Staff is seeking permission to possibly remove Taylor Street Repair Project from the list of claims that was made to FEMA from the April 2023 storm event. As the board is aware, Taylor Street has been closed for a full year. Despite plans for the project being completed in October of 2023, FEMA's EHP, or Environmental Historical Preservation Division, has only started their review of the plans in February. They've already indicated that they will be requiring a much more extensive scope of work than we had anticipated. Staff has also recently discovered that due to federal requirements on federal undertakings, the full approval process may take an additional 8 to 14 months. Now, on most of the other sites that we have in the claims list, this time frame would be workable, as these sites do not impose the impacts that this particular site does. The project is in full compliance with all state laws and regulations. Removal of this project from the claims list would remove the federal regulation burdens and allow the project to proceed. As I stated in my staff report earlier, the project is on schedule to be completed in about 3 weeks, weather permitting. And as stated in the agenda item description, the project can be paid for out of the existing roads budget. Director Wilson and I have a meeting with FEMA on Thursday to explore options to dramatically reduce their proposed scope of work and timeline. But having this option available to us will be very helpful to keep this project on track. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Before I check with the commission, is there anything you want to add, Adam?
Fortunately, we've looked into various options. The Director Wilson, Story County Emergency Management, for the record. We've looked into various options with our partners at FEMA, and I would like to be clear, they are working with us. They're trying. Unfortunately, it's the regulations on their side have also tied their hands on this project. So we have a few other avenues we're going to try and pursue on Thursday in that meeting. However, it doesn't look like those are going to work out for us. So our options would be to either absorb the cost of the repair within the county roads budget and deny the federal reimbursement, or delay the project up to 14 months and pursue the federal reimbursement.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments from Mike or Adam at this point?
I just think it's time we extract ourselves and move forward expeditiously with our repairs.
Vice Chairman?
So do I understand correctly that at this point, we basically have to choose a path one way or the other? It's not like we can go ahead and do it, and then hopefully maybe they eventually catch up and figure it out.
They are bound by regulations that require certain approvals prior to approval of any released funds. So as long as it's going to be a federal undertaking, no, we would be stuck with that process.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank both of you guys for trying to work through this. My philosophy is if we're going to spend a ton of staff time to try to get these funds, at some point we cut our losses. I think Commissioner Gilman essentially feels the same way. So, you know, for something that's not a multi-million dollar project, I'd rather see you guys be able to focus on other things than try to, you know, meet the requirements. Mm-hmm. Nothing against FEMA. I know they've helped us in the past, but for this one, maybe we just move along. So,
and to clarify, we have 9 projects from that one storm, and this doesn't impact any of those. It's just this one repair project. So the other funds will continue. 4 of them have already been obligated. The other ones are still under review, and those will continue. It's just the Taylor Street aspect.
Yeah. Historic Virginia City. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, this is a comment. I don't know if you remember Donkey Kong, but that's kind of what it was like when you come up to the courthouse today, because you have to go this way and then you have to go that way. I think it's time we get this done. So
we'll budget for a helicopter.
I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to enable staff to remove the Taylor Street repair project, if necessary, from the FEMA disaster mitigation claims from the April 2023 disaster event due to potential delays caused by federal Section 106 compliance requirements and other properly related matters causing previously board-approved funding to not exceed $220,000 to be non-reimbursable and instead paid out of already budgeted roads funds.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
On to item number 29, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of second reading of business licenses, A through J. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about these business licenses, sir?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, I have no questions, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding these business licenses? Great, not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 29 as A through J.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 30 is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment from the courtroom or on Zoom?
For the record, Gary Schmidt, first of all, I'd like to, under the provisions of the open meeting law, request that all my comments today be recorded in the minutes in detail, which basically requires transcription, and that all my pass outs be included and attached to the minutes. Referring back to something I distributed earlier, and there are copies available at the desk out there, it's titled the Story County Public Records Request Fees. This is a document that's required by law to be posted at every public service counter in the county. It's published at some, I say published, I mean posted, but not at all. And I noted earlier that item four here, where you talk about extraordinary requests and fees or extraordinary use of personnel and refer to NRS 239.055 as your reference, that section of the NRS was repealed over 5 years ago. That's quite a deficiency that somehow that slipped through the cracks. It should be the, I believe, the responsibility of the district attorney's office to inform the county manager and the commissioners when there's legislation in Carson City at the state level that requires some update or some action on the part of the county. I think you ought to look into how that slipped by. And then let me also say that the last time I worked for a living for somebody else where I had a salary was in 1966. And at that time, I was a computer software design engineer for Melonic's division of Litton Industries down in the Bay Area. And I designed forms like this, among other things. This form is not very user-friendly. I could point out a lot of things. It's to be posted. So you don't have to maintain your normal margins. You can go further out into the margins from designing a form like this to be posted, and therefore allows you to use a larger type size. This appears to be 11 point. You could probably get a 14 point on there and it make it more readable, because this is not a handout that someone's going to read in front of them. It's posted on the wall. So the larger type size you have is more appropriate. And there's other problems with the design also, but you're going to gain additional space because you have to take out that whole bottom section there, because it's quoting law that hasn't existed for half a decade. And I would suggest some things that you go a little bit beyond the law and include some references on there and make statements like public records requests as a matter of law may be oral. But if you would rather submit a written request, we have a form that you may use if you wish, rather than when someone comes in and makes a public records request, shoving them a form and saying, you have to fill this out and we'll get back to you in 5 days. It's not very citizen friendly.
Thank you for your comments.
I have a couple other suggestions here, which I'll submit later. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any. It brings me great joy to get to item number 31. We're almost there. Correspondence, no action. Anything we need to talk about?
No, Mr. Commissioners, that letter was sent on behalf of the discussions that happened at this board at the last meeting.
Great. Thank you. So now with extreme joy, we are at item number 32. It is the adjournment of all active recess boards on the agenda. It's 1 o'clock exactly. This meeting is adjourned. See you in a couple weeks.